Hello and good morning. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. You're listening to Coffee at KYUK. I'm joined this morning by two special guests. Please introduce yourselves.
Hi there, Anna Rose. I'm Paul Basil, the K300 race manager.
And I'm Myron Anksman, the chairman of the K300 board.
Thank you for being here. And this week and next week on Coffee at KYUK, as we lead up to the Kuskokwim 300, we're going to be highlighting volunteers and other people who are involved with the race and have been involved with the race for a long time. So, Paul, this is 9 days until the K300 starts. As race manager, what's your day looking like? What are you working on?
Days are full at this point, that's for sure. There's a lot of details to keep track of and get in place, and coordinating with volunteers and making sure everybody in the checkpoints is lined out and ready to go. Watching the weather very closely is part of my day.
And speaking of weather, we've had local races that have been postponed because the weather was too warm and then the weather got too cold. Any chance of a postponement happening with K300, or is it whatever the weather is, we'll have a race?
Well, that's basically what it is. The history of the race is that it's never been postponed. We've never missed a race. We've delayed it a couple days because of immediate weather. Usually that is because of really cold weather that just did not allow us to risk a start. We've had 2 or 3 years like that, and we've had blizzards that have postponed us a day or two. But we're too big event to just say, well, we're not going to have it this year. We have it somewhere or another, and you probably recall a couple of years ago we couldn't go all the way to Antioch, so we went halfway twice. And so we'll have a race, but fortunately this year it looks like the weather is cooperating somewhat. Paul does mention that he checks the weather every day, and it's also important to note that I also remind him every day of the weather. And the highest weather forecast between now and the race a few days ago was 32 degrees, and they've amended it down to 31 now, so we're really in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the field that we have. There are 19 mushers signed up. Tell me a little bit about who's coming.
A lot of familiar names. Some Iditarod champions like Lance Mackey, Jeff King, some other big names like Wade Mars, Nicholas Petit. We have a few mushers who are coming out for the first time. Dave Turner, Travis Beals, I don't think has made it out here before. Matt Hall, who's a Yukon Quest champion. I think 2017, this will be his first K300. Joanna Jagow, I think I'm saying her last name right. She's coming out for the first time. So, you know, it's definitely a very accomplished field, and it's going to be really exciting.
And we also have Iditarod champion and local musher Pete Kaiser joining the race.
I didn't mention
as
Pete.
Well as Richie right. Deal from Antioch.
Right.
Yeah, well, the local guys, we just kind of assume they're going to be involved, so they're not going to get mentioned every time. It's really a strong field. That it's not any bigger than normal, but there's a little bit more top-heavy skill involved in the field this year. And that's one thing that the people that called me have mentioned. Boy, what a field you've got this year. I hear that just about every time somebody calls.
And is that something that you're used to when you throw this race? You're used to having the best coming out here?
Well, kind of we are. But I got to point out that that has also changed over the years. The first few years we had real big names racing here, Swenson, Butcher, Reddington, and a few other people who were champions of the era. But in the middle section from like 87 through 95, we had a little bit of a downturn in the number of champions that were showing up. It became, during that era, there was a kind of a general feeling that, gee, our weather was too harsh, the conditions were difficult, and maybe we should save our team for the Iditarod. But that gradually dissipated, and with our purse going up, it's become apparent that we stand alone as a race, and there are teams that feel that mile for mile we pay better than anybody, which is correct. And so we have now lately been attracting the very top teams. There are notable few exceptions that do not come here. Again, we believe it's because of the fact that they want to save their team for the Iditarod, but that is very uncommon because, as you have seen, the racers now feel they can go two or three races before the Iditarod and still do well in the Iditarod. And so that's why we are now getting the top teams, just about all of them, out here again.
Well, to make this race happen, it requires volunteers from across the community coming together, donating their time, their energy. You're still looking for volunteers. How can people help out?
Yeah, we have a few key areas where we are still looking for some more help. And certainly the most urgent is we're looking for a couple more musher hosts. It's a challenge, I suppose, to line enough people up. We make a commitment to the mushers who are coming out here that we're going to help them with transportation around town. We're going to find them a place to stay where they can take care of their dogs and all that. And so it's a big undertaking, and we're a couple hosts short still at this time. So that's an area where we really, really need some more help. Myron, maybe you can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I do want to mention that it is a little bit unusual that that's still a problem, because when we started this race in 1980, we had, some years we had as high as 50 teams taking part, frequently in the 30s. And the number of houses in this town was a fraction of what it is now. And the houses that were here were smaller, very basic living conditions. But everybody opened their house for a musher, and there was no question, boy, this is Bethel. We have to be good hosts, and we have to make these mushers feel at home. So we housed everybody without problems in those days, but now it's become a little harder. Everything's become a little harder. People are more reluctant to get out and volunteer to do stuff these days than they were 20 years ago. There's no question about that. It's not just the K300. It's all events are having a downturn in participation. And we really kind of appeal to folks to say, hey, let's get involved in the 300 in some way. And one really good way is to host a musher. It's a good way in the sense that we have people who have had long-term relationships with the mushers that they host, and those have been positive for many, many years for a lot of folks, that they have become friends with stars of the sport, and that carries on through families, and it's a very positive experience. So sign up and host a musher.
And that requires having some room for a musher, room for their handler, then a little bit of yard space for the dog team, and mushers are pretty good about using a little bit of space for a lot of dogs.
Well, that's true, but remember, mushers are mushers, and they spend a lot of time sleeping in their sled. So if they can sleep in a sled in a snowbank somewhere, which all of them can, they can certainly find a little corner to sleep in the house. They're not very demanding. We did have a couple of mushers who were real demanding in the old days, and we put a stop to that right away because that just did not play. We had one musher that didn't like the food that was being prepared, and he went to the store and bought a steak, brought it home, one steak, brought it home to his host family and said, here, this is what I eat. That did not go over real well, but that's a very rare situation. Frequently, host families experience mushers who are willing to make dinner and tell stories and buy ice cream and, you know, those kind of things. So it's a positive experience for almost everyone.
And I think one thing I've heard from several hosts who have done it a lot is that it's really great for kids. Kids who are excited about the race, excited about the sport, to have that kind of experience hanging out with some, you know, big-time musher is a really exciting thing.
Mm-hmm. You get to make a personal connection for sure.
Well, let me just say one more thing about that. Pete Kaiser acknowledges that his early exposure to outside mushers that came in and stayed with his family were part of his early introduction to dog racing and part of the appeal that got him into the sport. Ed Eaton is one he particularly mentions that influenced his early life, and he was a Kotzebue musher who came down here. So he attributes that to the fact that he's today the Iditarod champion.
So if you host a musher and you have a kid, that kid might be the Iditarod champion in the future.
There you have it.
There are a lot of events leading up to the beginning of the race. The race starts on Friday, January 17th, but what's coming up before that?
Right. Thanks for bringing that up. So this Saturday, we're trying something new. We have a little benefit event happening in Anchorage. It's at the Avenue Bar, which is downtown. It's going to be pretty low key, just some hanging out, and there's going to be a little bit of live music from myself and Andy Anksman. We're trying to rope a few more people in, and it should be a fun evening. There'll be some K300 merchandise for sale there for folks in town who, you know, don't have as easy access to it. So that's this Saturday. Then I suppose there's no big events before race weekend, but then the Saturday of race weekend, Bethel Council in the Arts has organized a concert. So that's Saturday the 18th at 7 o'clock at the Cultural Center.
And leading up to the race on the Wednesday, there'll also be a meeting for volunteers who want to get involved at the checkpoint. Tell me about that, or at the headquarters.
Right, and so that's for folks who have already signed up and been scheduled, they'll be invited to this orientation on Wednesday the 15th. And, you know, they'll just basically be trained in what they're going to be doing. And I suppose certainly if there are people who haven't signed up and they just want to show up and get a job, that'd be fine too.
Mm-hmm. And what if someone wants to sign up? How can they do that?
The easiest thing to do is to go to our website, k300.org, and at the top of the screen, there's a menu option, Get Involved, and there's a very short form. People check off the areas where they'd like to help and give me their contact information, and we go from there.
You're looking for people to host mushers, and are you looking for volunteers in other areas as well?
Yeah, one job we're looking to fill that maybe is appealing to some folks is we need some volunteers to help with the fireworks show. And so the major selling point there is that you get to light off a bunch of really big fireworks or help. But we really need two or three strong people who are good with their hands during the day on Friday, setting it all up. And so that's an area where we definitely need some help.
This is an exciting time of year to be in Bethel. It's definitely Bethel's biggest event, or one of Bethel's biggest event. What's your favorite part of K300?
Well, for me, it's the return of people who I've become acquainted with and friends with over the period of time that we've had the race since 1980. Many of them call during the lead up to the race. Even if they're not coming, they call to say hello and say who's coming this year. And then a lot of them do show up. Some of them come as mushers, some come as family members and supporters of mushers. And so it's a really good time for everybody to get together. And, you know, all of that is very unusual for rural Alaska and Bethel to have people travel here from all over the state, actually even beyond the state. They don't come here for any other reason, a lot of these people, and you never get a chance to see them. And a rural Alaska tradition is that events and celebrations like this, that's one of the main reasons for them over the centuries has been to get together and see people that you don't normally see. This was a native tradition 150 years ago before we even showed up, to have celebrations in villages where nearby villages would come by and say hello. And this is that type of event, and it gets everybody back together, and I really look forward to it for that reason. I really like the competitive part of the race as well. For me, that's a it's a big time sporting event. For me, it's a Super Bowl.
I think for me, and of course, to date, my experience of the K300 is as a volunteer and a spectator. I've just always enjoyed the general buzz around town, the excitement, the anticipation, and everybody talking about it. And hey, did you see the tracker? You know, so and so's pulled ahead. I just really love the energy that the event creates in our community. I suspect now, being much more intimately involved, I might have a different favorite part in a week or two.
Myron Engsman, Paul Basil, thank you for joining us on Coffee at KYUK. Tune in to KYUK throughout the race for your comprehensive, complete, top-of-the-hour trail reports coverage of the K300. It's an exciting time of year. Join us at Coffee at KYUK this week and next for more highlights of volunteers. Thank you.